all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here for the hour as well, with a couple of healthcare segments coming up this hour. One about crisis pregnancy centers and another about the public health impacts of a changing climate. But before we get to either one of those, Kristen, we did talk to Joe Zepecki in our last hour, mostly about the Tony Evers' second inaugural, which you attended this week. And last I heard, you're still feeling really happy about.
My feet are a little sore, but my soul is happy.
There you go. A bit about Republicans in Congress and their still inability to elect a speaker. But I also talked to Joe about some of the last acts of the January 6th committee, which included releasing transcripts of depositions. And what we've learned from those releases, they include new information about the fake electors plot and its ties to Wisconsin folks, including Senator Ron Johnson. And so I wanted to ask Joe a bit about whether he has gleaned anything from the release of new information. And so I wanted to share his answer on that. So here's Joe Zepecki.
I think there's tremendous significance. You know, we've heard a couple different defenses of the fake elector plot. And chief among them was that the individuals who were the actual electors said, no, like we were just told this was a contingency plan just in case one of the court cases, went through, or the Trump campaign won in court, then the backup documents would be there and it would be all squared away. We are now seeing more evidence that that is total and utter nonsense. The letters B and S come to mind, because it is clear that the Giuliani, Cheesebro, Johnson conversations understood that this was being directed by the Trump campaign. It was not in accordance with the reality of what had happened in the Wisconsin election in 2020. And Andrew Hitt himself, the former GOP official, is saying, you can just sort of see in his text messages, he understands that what they are being directed or asked to do is crazy. He's going, oh my God, all caps. Can you believe that Ron, referring to Senator Johnson, is asking us to do this stuff? And so it is important. I don't know that it changes the game entirely, but what I feel really strongly about is, it means we have to do more investigating. There has to be some measure of accountability for this. And the work that the January 6th committee did really revolved around, how do you hold Donald Trump accountable, even if the only accountability is in the eyes of history, so that the world can see what he did every step of the way. We need that same level of transparency and ability to have accountability for Ron Johnson. Unfortunately, he's not really answering the questions. He's trying to get out of it. But I would love to see a mechanism. Maybe it's the state suit, where we continue to get more information and get to the bottom about what actually happened. Because as we approach the 2-year anniversary, I believe tomorrow, of the attacks of January 6th, we know an awful lot more about who was involved and how serious the threat was to our democracy. But we don't know everything, and the American people deserve to. We're a strong enough country to know exactly what the bad actors did and how close they came to really screwing up the American experiment in profound ways.
So that was Joe Zepecki talking about that. And Kristen, you were at the inaugural, which included the swearing in of other officers, including State Attorney General Josh Call, who now has another 4 years to consider things like looking into the Wisconsin angles on the fake electors plot, which wouldn't be happening if you weren't watching Josh Call getting sworn in this week.
Yeah, it really underscores the importance of this past election. And that was a message that kept coming up over and over in the inauguration speeches: protecting our democracy, coming together, righting the ship, and just moving forward, looking to the future instead of being mired in the past the way that we have been. I really look forward to holding Ron Johnson accountable. He can't just say, I wasn't there. I don't remember. You know, he just brushes it off. Yeah, yeah, right. He just brushes it off. Like, no, this is our democracy and you're a key player here. And we, as the people of Wisconsin, have to hold him responsible for this behavior.
Exactly. All right. Let's set up the two different segments we've got coming up here. Hometown Health at 7:30 with Joel Charles on a changing climate being a health issue. But first, coming up, Jessica Scharfenberg talks to us about crisis pregnancy centers or pregnancy crisis centers, something that you as an OBGYN, this is an important topic to you.
This is a very important topic. So when I was an abortion provider in Sheboygan, it was not uncommon for people to come in having called one of those 1-800 pregnant lines, thinking that they were going to get the information that they needed in order to be able to make decisions for themselves. And what they found was they were given bad information. They were given partial information. Ultrasounds were performed that were inappropriate, inadequate, and they were kind of being channeled down this pathway where abortion wasn't an option, but their options were taken away. So there are lots of these crisis pregnancy centers all across the country. They're often funded by state legislatures. I believe here in Wisconsin, we do fund these. And, you know, they violate the medical ethical principles of patient autonomy. So right. This is going to be a very interesting segment.
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to talk to Jessica Scharfenberg, Chief Executive Officer of the Health First Network in Wausau. And that's going to be coming up right after this break. You're listening to Up North News Radio on a Thursday. Many ways to listen or watch what we do. You can watch us online through the Up North News Facebook page. Just look for Up North News WI or Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. And if you ever miss a show and want to see the listing of episodes, go to civicmedia.us and click on our show page there. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is still with us. And speaking of Wausau, we're heading that way now where we're going to talk to Jesse Scharfenberg. Jessica is the where have you got it here? There we go. CEO at Health First in Wausau and president of the Wisconsin Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association. And is going to give us some perspective on crisis pregnancy centers, what they are, what they are not, perhaps how they are funded, other things that we need to know in case you or somebody close to you is in need of comprehensive care regarding pregnancy. And so, Jessica, it's nice to have you here. Thank you.
Thanks for the invite. It's really interesting, Pat. The song that played right before we went into this segment was about lying. I think it was a perfect intro to what we're going to be talking about today. We've been doing a lot of work around crisis pregnancy centers, especially post-Dobbs. With that decision, abortion access has been diminished in Wisconsin. You can't receive an abortion in Wisconsin. We have individuals going out of state, which we are more than willing to help. But what we're seeing is crisis pregnancy centers, we like to call them fake healthcare centers, are really increasing their marketing and their media saying, hey, come to us instead. We're going to help you get that abortion. We're going to help you with those services. These different entities are religiously affiliated, and their ultimate goal is to stall the woman to a point where when she would actually be able to receive an abortion, she's no longer able to because they've taken up so much of that time, which is a really, really dangerous aspect for individuals. We have one right here in Wausau. I don't know if any of you guys read the Wausau Pilot and Review. There was a great article right before the holidays around that, of who they are, what they do, what they don't do. They like to go under this guise that they're a reproductive health center. They're not. They don't offer comprehensive reproductive health care. They don't offer contraception, very, very limited STI testing. They don't have medical staff, which I find it's really interesting is they do what they call these limited ultrasounds to confirm pregnancy on individuals. And I remember when I was pregnant and I had to go in and I had an ultrasound by an ultrasound tech, and then the physician and radiologist had to read that before they could give me any results or tell me anything. Yet they have these quote unquote trained individuals doing these limited ultrasounds, telling people whether they have a heartbeat or not. And especially early on in pregnancy, and Dr. Lyerly, I'm sure you can agree with this. If you are going to do an early ultrasound, you need to do a transvaginal ultrasound if you're going to detect a heartbeat. And they're trying to do transabdominal ultrasounds and telling people whether they have a heartbeat or not. Come on, that's not even possible.
Oh, it's so true. I've seen people come in with pictures from the crisis pregnancy center. And, you know, ultrasounds are challenging to interpret sometimes. I've seen people show me a picture that's clearly their bladder, and they were told that it was inside of the uterus. I mean, these centers are unregulated. They are non-medical. They have no legal obligation to provide pregnant people with accurate information. And they are, this is really important, not subject to HIPAA or required by law to maintain client confidentiality. So they can go out and talk about you and share your name. And you don't know that because you're assuming that they are a medical center.
And that's really interesting. So we've had secret shoppers. There's other entities, reproductive healthcare providers in Wisconsin, who have sent secret shoppers into these entities to kind of get the gist of what's going on and what information is being provided. And in their confidentiality statements and all the paperwork that you sign, it flat out says that they'll make the decision whether they're going to share your information or not. And it's like, excuse me, you're going to say you're a healthcare entity, yet you're not going to protect that information. However, according to HHS, they are not covered entities. So a lot of, and this is a lot of mumbo jumbo, but covered entities are what you fall under with HHS if you are billing for the services that you provide, and you have to follow HIPAA if you are a covered entity. They don't bill for their services, so they are not a covered entity, so they don't have to follow HIPAA, and they don't, which is really scary for individuals. And especially right now, you have individuals in very vulnerable states, and they don't have access to the services that they're looking for. And they're saying, hey, come over here. I mean, the number of ads I'm served on like Facebook or social media of these pregnancy centers, if you're thinking about an abortion, come see us. Well, they don't offer all options counseling, and they don't do referrals to abortion centers or have the connections to get people where they need to go, which is really, really dangerous in this post-Dobbs environment that we are living in.
We are talking to Jessica Scharfenberg and Dr. Kristen Lyerly about crisis pregnancy centers and the many shortcomings and frankly the misinformation that's out there. And what I find so interesting is that it's the truthiness of it, if you will, that we have essentially these borderline fake clinics claiming to be more than what they are. And it's all about an issue that is based on attacking Planned Parenthood as being a place that is only an abortion provider, when Planned Parenthood is an example of a place that does provide very comprehensive health care for women, Kristen.
Yes, not just comprehensive, but thoughtful, sensitive, careful. The number of people who came to me and said, this is not the experience I thought that I was going to have here, because we talk about everything and the goal is to try to help them make the best decision for themselves, not to force them to have an abortion. And I think that that is the perception that they get from, you know, much of the public, but also especially these crisis pregnancy centers who target vulnerable people, young people, under-resourced people, and try to delay them in receiving appropriate, accurate care.
And Jesse, it's not just Planned Parenthood. I wanted to set up Kristen with that, but obviously so many other places will provide real and comprehensive health care.
Yeah, there's 43 Title 10 reproductive health clinics in Wisconsin. And with this whole post-Dobbs situation, Title 10 clinics are protected. We are able to provide all options comprehensive care to individuals, which is amazing. And we have all of these centers. But what you will see is these crisis pregnancy centers, all of them are located within 1 to 2 miles of an actual Title 10 or reproductive health clinic. So I will give you an example. Back in 2008, which was before my tenure here, we used to be Family Planning Health Services. services, our website was fphs.org. Hope Pregnancy Center here in Wausau, but fphs.com, to try to confuse people on where to go for comprehensive care. And it's like, come on, guys. And I am not against having resources available to individuals in our communities, but let's be truthful about what their resources are. So if you want to be a gospel missionary that's going to offer resources to individuals like diapers or clothing or that type of a thing, say that you're a gospel ministry and that that's what you do. Do not say that you are a reproductive health clinic, because you are not, and you do not offer reproductive health care. And, you know, we've talked so much in the past 3 years about misinformation, and this is just another one of those things of misinformation. And they're just really capitalizing on the Dobbs decision and being out there in your face saying, here, come here, come here. Well, you offer very limited services that aren't comprehensive. It's not according to ACOG. It's not according to the CDC. So we have all of these governing bodies as a comprehensive reproductive health care provider that we have to follow. And those are the standards. That's not what happens at a crisis pregnancy center, which is super, super unfortunate. I mean, they start talking about how abortion is linked to cancer and this and that and the next thing. And we're going to go on this abortion recovery journey and this and that and the next thing. And that's not what science says. So when you're going to say, hey, come here for an abortion, yet you're also saying, well, we need to talk about an abortion recovery journey, those things don't mesh.
Mm-mm. And if you're receiving appropriate, sensitive, thoughtful care, you wouldn't need a recovery journey. That would all be part of the care that you're receiving. And I love that you talked about how they mentioned the false risks of abortion. They tell people that you have a higher incidence of breast cancer, infertility, mental illness, preterm birth. They suggest a high complication rate associated with abortion, when we know that abortion is one of the safest procedures that people can have. They overestimate people's gestational ages and say it's too late for you to have an abortion. So people walk away from these clinics thinking that they don't have any options. They downplay the impact of pregnancy and childbirth on people's lives and health. And many times people have come to see me saying, I was told that this would make my name your condition, my blood pressure better, when in fact, we know that it doesn't. And if they are misrepresenting early in pregnancy, the impact on your long-term health, and you're making decisions about your long-term health based on this information, you are putting yourself and your family at risk.
It seems like we need to be talking about proposals for greater regulation and oversight of these entities. The last thing, though, is that complicating things even further is the continued closure of rural healthcare facilities. And there's a direct tie-in to politics here in that, you know, there are only about a dozen states that continue to refuse the Medicaid expansion. And those dozen states represent less than a quarter of the population. And yet in the states that refuse to expand Medicaid, they accounted for 74% of all rural hospital closures. So Jesse, this problem of access to good healthcare in rural Wisconsin and rural America, this is something that is going to be a constant for the foreseeable future. And people are going to want to look for whatever they can find for care rather than just a quality care place, which I'm sure is what you are trying to advocate for.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of those things. Politics are playing with healthcare, and it's not good and it is not safe, but that's the reality that we are currently living in. So advocating, telling the truth, getting the information out there is so important right now. So individuals know what their options are for safe and quality comprehensive care, which is super, super important, because they can say, hey, I have this crisis pregnancy center down the street. They're going to do X, Y, and Z for me. But that's not the actual truth. So we're trying to get the information out so that people know where their resources actually are.
Because how can you make the best decisions for yourself in the context of your own life if you don't have the right information?
Exactly. Jesse, if anybody wants to learn more, where would you suggest people turn to?
reach out to me. WIFRA has been doing a lot of work around this. The Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, Sarah Finger, is amazing. They have a lot of information on their website as well. Just we're trying to get as much accurate information out so people can make informed decisions about their health care.
And would that be healthfirstnetwork.org?
Yep, healthfirstnetwork.org.
All right. Appreciate it very much. Jessica Scharfenberg, Chief Executive Officer of the Health First Network. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and look forward to visiting again soon.
Thank you.
All right. And Kristen, when we come back after the break, we're going to jump right into an interview with Joel Charles talking about climate and health.
It's all connected, baby.
That's the way to put it. So we'll hear from Dr. Charles, and then Dr. Lyerly will talk to us again a little bit more before we hear from Luke Mathers and wrap up our conversation here for Thursday on Up North News Radio. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, go to upnorthnewswi.com and hit newsletter in the top banner. We'll be back.
Well, welcome to Hometown Health, Dr. Joel Charles.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, a little bit about you. You are a family practice doc in Soldiers Grove.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Driftless area. Beautiful. You love being outdoors. You're supposed to actually be outdoors now, but you're not. Unfortunately.
Nope.
You are also the strategic development chair and the policy and advocacy co-chair for the Wisconsin Health Professionals for Climate Action, which is how we initially became acquainted.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. So you live at the intersection of health and climate and advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really confusing for us to understand how all of these things intersect. Help us connect the dots. What do climate change and clean energy have to do with health?
Yeah, that's a really important question. You know, at the core of it, you know, first sort of why I got involved in this is that, you know, as a family doc, my goal is to help people be healthy and to not suffer. And it became very clear that this issue is critical for helping my patients in the rural community that I live in thrive, whether it's climate change or how we produce our energy. So thinking about climate change, you know, we need a stable climate to be healthy. We need clean water. We need stable climate in terms of not being exposed to heavy rainfall events that can make people sick from water contamination. There are just so many ways that people are made sick by it, you know, including vector-borne diseases like Lyme disease becoming more common. So, you know, we know that climate change is getting worse. We know that it's caused by humans burning fossil fuels. We know that it's bad for our health. And we know what we can do about it. And there's a lot that we can do about it. And then there's this whole flip side that the health piece really brings in, which is that we know the burning of fossil fuels is making our patients sick. So from the moment of conception until their last breath, fossil air pollution makes our patients sick. So they've been shown to cause preterm births, stillbirths, delayed cognitive development in children, asthma, heart attacks, strokes, dementia, just the whole spectrum of life. We don't have really any patients who aren't affected by the fact that we use fossil fuels to get our energy source. But what that means is that we have a major opportunity to improve health in Wisconsin. We would probably save about 1,900 lives a year by switching to clean energy. And so that's a huge opportunity, and health professionals are really engaging to try and make sure that we get that win for Wisconsinites.
1,900 lives a year. That's just absolutely amazing.
Dr. Charles was actually one of our first story subjects when we started Up North News in 2020 with a special series that we actually called No Time to Lose, a family meeting on climate, because we wanted all of Wisconsin to actually think of it as a family meeting, that all of us together need to have this discussion. And Dr. Charles was right there in the stories, prominently talking about the climate crisis being a public health emergency. And you were talking to us for our story about holding your newborn son And at the same time, an immense thunderstorm was raging outside your window. And tell us about what that moment was like for you when you saw what nature held for your son and you and everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, your listeners in Western Wisconsin might remember August of 2018, there was just this massive thunderstorm that came through and broke several dams in the Cooley region and flooded a lot of areas and just really caused a lot of devastation. And my oldest son was born during that storm. And I remember just holding him, you know, against the glass in our room at Gunderson in La Crosse and just watching the storm outside raging and thinking, you know, what kind of world am I bringing my son into? But then also thinking about my patients in the Kickapoo River Valley, thinking, you know, if any of them are having kids tonight, some of them might not have kids, they might not have a home to go home to. And thinking, you know, I'm in a very privileged position as a doctor to have the resources to protect my family to a certain extent from climate change, but I can't fully protect my son from climate change. And the best way to protect both my children and my patients is to make the world safer for them. And that's what I've set out to do, and to use the voice that's given to me as a family doctor to try and protect people that I care about. And that's really what this is about.
I keep hearing this common theme of family, your family, you are a family doctor. Our mm-hmm. community is like a family. And it makes me also think about my family and how much they have taught me, my kids especially, about some of the technologies that are out there to combat climate change. So let's talk about what's available to address these problems that you've identified.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's really exciting, frankly. You know, I've been working on climate change for about 10 years, and there's been huge change in that time, mainly that we have come up with the technologies we need for the most part, and they've become not only extremely cheap, but cheaper than using fossil fuels, which is a huge breakthrough. So the simplest way to think about it is we need to electrify all of our energy use that we can, because we know how to produce cheap renewable energy. And that renewable energy is cheaper than burning fossil fuels. The second piece is that we need to So the technologies are, you know, basically wind, solar, batteries, allowing us to store, especially producing electric vehicles are sort of the other big technology. Those have come down in price quite a bit too, and pretty soon are going to be cheaper on the front end than internal combustion cars. They're already cheaper for lifetime costs than internal combustion cars. The other big technology is heat pumps. So when we say electrify everything, what we mean is instead of heating and cooling your house with like a gas furnace, for example, you would use what's called a heat pump. And those are super efficient. They produce heat and they cool. They're much cleaner, so you're not getting pollution in your house, which is a big health benefit there. Interestingly, you know, kids who grew up in houses with gas stoves are actually 40% more likely to get asthma. So the sort of moral of the story here is, we have the technologies we need. Those technologies are not only cheaper, not only are they cleaner and healthier, but they also produce more stable prices. So they're less prone to inflation and huge swings in price like we're seeing right now with both price at the pump and people's gas for heating. So it's just a win on all levels. And in particular for Wisconsin, because we don't have any of our own fossil fuel reserves. So just any way you slice it, it's good for us.
So what kind of impact do you think that the clean energy transition will have here in Wisconsin, especially in rural areas like where you live?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest thing, as I mentioned, is that Wisconsin doesn't have any fossil fuel reserves. So we're sending $14 billion a year out of state every year. And that money is just going out the window. We could be keeping a big chunk of that money in state by producing renewables here in Wisconsin. So that brings more money back into our economy. As I mentioned, clean electrification probably is going to save the average household about $2,000 a year in energy costs. If we, you know, fully pursue clean electrification, we'll save 1,900 lives a year, as I mentioned. But in rural areas in particular, what I'm excited about is that, you know, rural areas have the opportunity to produce the energy that they need and that cities need. And that can have a huge benefit, you know, in the towns that I take care of. You know, everybody's always sort of struggling to keep the roads paved, keep the schools open. And a lot of these renewable energy projects come with really big property tax boosts that can really help townships do the things that, that folks want and need. At the same time, it helps farmers out. So there are just so many facets on which.
And yeah, there's so much more coming yet from the Inflation Reduction Act, which got passed as well. Yeah. And for folks who would like to go check out the Wisconsin Health Professionals for Climate Action page, which is wiclimatehealth.org. I mean, this is not just a bunch of, hey, we should do something. We should do something. You're listing success stories in energy efficiency and in rural systems, renewable energy, you know, and other things that anybody in the healthcare profession can do if they will take this seriously enough to organize, make a plan, and execute it. This is not some pie in the sky thing. It's happening right now.
Yeah, at any level you want to do it, you know, there's a ton of money now from the Inflation Reduction Act for people to, you know, get an electric vehicle, to electrify their house, put in solar. But also there's a ton of money, for example, for electric school buses. So whether you're a health professional or not, go to your school district and say, hey, why are my kids riding a diesel bus that's making them sick when they're supposed to be like going to a place that's going to improve their brain health? You know, get your school district to switch to electric school buses because there's a lot of money for it right now. So there's just kind of no end to the levels on which people can engage in a way that's sort of still local but meaningful to them.
Hey, I love hearing all of the actual points that you can make about how these things benefit us, because I think when we think about climate change, especially how it affects us here in Wisconsin, it seems so vague and so confusing and so unreachable. But when you say, well, here in Wisconsin, we don't have fossil fuels, but we can have renewable energy, that's a win. Then that's an easy win that you can put into one sentence. When you say we can save all of these lives in Wisconsin annually, that is a giant win. So there are so many different things that are really, they're easy to talk about. We just have to initiate these conversations. And that's why we're here today, so we can start having these conversations with our neighbors about why not get out and buy that electric vehicle when all those tax incentives are there, when there are so many opportunities for us to start moving in that positive direction.
Yes, absolutely.
And for that, we thank you, Dr. Joel Charles, family practice.
Yeah, thank you.
And also from the Wisconsin Health Professionals for Climate Action, again, wiclimatehealth.org. So nice to visit with you again and look forward to doing it again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Well, Kristen, you've done it again.
It wasn't me. It was Dr. Charles, who is one of the smartest, most committed, just driven people, and it comes straight from his heart and where he lives, the people he serves, his family. We've got to get on the right track, and Dr. Charles sees it very clearly. So yeah, it was a privilege to be able to talk with him and to be able to work with him.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, we had talked to him early on with Up North News because we saw somebody extremely passionate, but also from a scientific perspective that, you know, again, people want to turn everything into politics or political talking points when there are things that simply should rise above all of that. And, you know, it's the people that want to fight, you know, moving to renewable energy and things, they want to talk about climate change being a hoax and everything. I always want to just kind of say, wouldn't you just want to pollute less anyway? I mean, even for no other reason than, you know, you'd have cleaner air. Is that not important to you? And just set the politics aside. And it's weird that some people can't seem to do that.
It's not that hard. It really isn't that hard. But when it's not your pattern, when you're used to operating in a certain way, and then we ask you to do something a little bit different, that's the hard part. The change is hard, but once the change is completed and you're on the right path and you're doing the right thing and it's sustainable and you're building, you're investing in a future for your kids and your grandkids, that is so powerful.
Now, I have to be honest and say that when we run taped interviews like that, because it does keep me busy throughout the mornings and afternoons and sometimes into the evenings. So sometimes during the taped interviews, I will step away and take care of other matters. But I I knew Kristen was there, so I was trying to look productive over here, opening up some of the Christmas cards that people sent to Up North News, which makes me very happy. But it means I didn't get to do my lizard on a flat rock thing that I'm going to be doing in the next hour. We remodeled our bathroom not too long ago, and we put heated tile down on the floor of the bathroom.
Love that.
There's a little disagreement in the Kreitlow abode as far as what the right temperature should be. So I've now got the thermostat set where about an hour after she leaves for work, it's like 80 degrees, you know, on that tile. And it's so tempting just to lie on the bathroom floor and say, I'm like a lizard on a flat rock. I may never get off of this.
That's an amazing visual. Are you all sharing this with me, Pat? On the bathroom floor. But
unfortunately, it doesn't look like content. It looks like I had too many old fashions.
Also is a possibility.
I'm not going to say that's never happened. Luke Mathers is going to join us after the break. You're up north.
Kick the dust up.
Well, if you're hearing Luke Bryan, it must be time to hear more about the Luke and Bryan Dueling Tangents Radio Extravaganza from a new undisclosed location from the Mathers Man Cave somewhere. You're in Madison proper, right? So the Mathers Madison Man Cave?
Get it all
sorry,
out,
there
Aaron.
Must be there
get,
must have been some, out, something Aaron. In the connection there. My apologies, Luke.
No, I am a proud resident of Sun Prairie, new homeowner.
That's right, Sunny P. I forgot. Yep. So from the man cave there, I noticed. See now, look behind me are family photos and a couple of Wisconsin knickknacks. Behind Dr. Lyerly, I can see all this evidence of. We the three of us guys combined are not 6% as smart as she is.
Oh, and yes, correct.
What totally. Do you have? Yeah, I don't, back
6% is even generous, a little yes. Pat. Like 6% is pushing it. That's a good day.
So, what do you have back there? What's on the new home studio?
These are my three Wisconsin maps. So, I got a map of the state parks. I have a map of supper clubs and of breweries here in Wisconsin.
A map of supper clubs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was the newest addition to it when the room was being put together. It's a work in progress. It's a little bit of a fixer-upper, but I got enough that I can come in and join you remotely for the broadcast. So those are my three Wisconsin maps back there.
Is that supper club map perhaps related to the old-fashioned, or whatever it's called, by Ron Faiola?
I don't believe so. I don't have that map. I believe there's a different map for that one.
Gotcha.
But
again, look, goes for the visual.
Fact, yeah, the Pat two just Ron happens Faiola to have books these
that
books.
Are on his back here.
I'm going to say he's got them back there at the ready.
Kristen, we got to do the road trip. We got to do the road trip this summer of supper
yes,
clubs.
Bring it. I'm ready.
Luke, Aaron, you in?
Yeah. Yep. Let me know when and where.
You're in charge of arranging the Civic Media bus that's going to take us from supper club to supper club.
All right, we'll see what we can do. We'll make it happen.
We can find a celebrity bus driver, you know, not Dom, for the love of God, you know. I was telling Aaron earlier that I think that because, you know, Devil's Advocate with Dom and Krute is on, you know, all of the Civic Media stations, and this program is on all of the stations, at least during the 6 a.m. hour, and in the middle, some people hear some shows, some people hear others. I thought, you know, this kind of reminds me of Homeroom. So we're like the Homeroom of Civic Media. And that's where the Charlie Brown teacher sound effect came from. Is we think of you, Mr. Mathers, as our hometown teacher.
That's a very generous comparison. I do not have command of this classroom one bit, but I see Dr. Lyerly has her hand.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Sorry, we don't have a hall pass for that.
I was going to say, you got to wait till the commercial break. That's what we consider passing period around here.
So I already went to the bathroom.
By the way, an unknown state's, an undisclosed state senator just texted offering to drive the bus. So
there you go.
We are going to be taking that leading Wisconsin politician up on that generous offer, believe me. So Luke, you want to take over homeroom here and tell us some of the highlights of the Civic Media Empire or just your own show, if that's the highlight you got?
Well, there's a lot in store for Civic Media. At the end of 2022, we had a little bit of a internal email going around asking, please don't spoil any of the locations that are coming. I haven't rewound the tape to see if this was specifically directed at me. It wasn't like I was getting a slap on the wrist. I think it was kind of just a friendly reminder. So I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too soon, but I can tell you that Civic Media's got a lot in store for 2023. We're really excited about the team that we're putting together, the areas across Wisconsin that we will be covering in 2023. So we're really excited. Hopefully over the next couple of weeks, I'll be able to share more specifics with you, Pat. But as of this morning, it's really more about building the anticipation rather than sharing anything else. And we've got a terrific Packer game coming up on Sunday Night Football. That is an excellent little logo that Dr. Lyerly is sharing around with.
I believe Dr. Lyerly was silently making the pitch, you know, to get a Green Bay station. So somehow I know that's on your to-do list. Short term or long term, who's to say? But Kristen is going to be relentless until we get her a hometown studio to go visit.
She starts calling me up about 2 a.m. saying, Hey, what's going on for Green Bay? And I'm like, come on, doctor. Like, I can't share.
Give me the news.
Details. I can't. So
I guess when Pat has too many old fashions, he splays out like a lizard on his heated tile. When Kristen has too many old fashions, she calls Luke and demands a new radio station.
I do.
Oh, trust me. She's a mean drunk. I've gotten texts from her. It's just, you know. People take on different qualities, but moving on to...
We're very excited. The fact that this time last year, Pat, we were one radio station getting ready to launch the second station in Waukesha. And now that we cover markets in Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, Wausau, Oshkosh, it's been a very busy past year. And I can tell you for sure that 2023 is going to be just as busy, if not busier. So we're really looking forward to it.
And Amory, which you neglected. So Amory, that means an extra stop on the bus.
Hayward. Yes.
Yep.
Hayward. So
yep.
Well, and in talking specifically about shows, I mean, we have Todd Alba on once a week. We have Chad Holmes on once a week. We have Terry Bell from the newsroom on occasionally. But obviously there's, and we talked to you about dueling tangents.
Once a while when I'm not in traffic.
Yes, exactly. We need to get crewed on. I mean, Kristen Bry, I mean, she and her producer Jane both went through just a nasty bout with COVID and or something else. And we have to figure out how to arrange a visit with them on the show here and just continue to make this the homeroom for Civic Media. We want everybody listening to every show, either live or through a podcast in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's excellent. And I'm joining Todd now on Tuesdays for Tangents with Todd. So we're going to do a little fun with that. It's going to be a regular as well. So
with Todd.
Like look at the marketing
going on here. Tangents with Todd.
So now when does that happen?
That's going to be Tuesday mornings at 10:30.
Tuesday at 10:30, Tangents with Todd.
Yep, and Luke. But yeah, Tangents on the Todd Alba Show.
Very nice. I mean, look at the growth here. We've got, you know, just this week, Sarah Godlewski is starting, you know, kind of biweekly visits with us to highlight various women who are leaders all around Wisconsin. Kristen's visiting with us with Hometown Health on Thursdays. She's also just sitting here on Monday mornings, just out of the goodness of her heart to help me wake up on Mondays.
For the music history. I like that.
There you go. So I almost forgot Melissa Kay from locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. I asked her yesterday, do you guys have a jingle? Cause otherwise I'm willing to sing that, you know, cause jingle. It's such a great name.
Jingle.
Yeah.
Can we get a jingle?
Sing it with me, Kristen. Locally grown radio.
Oh.
Y'all keep laughing like you don't want that. I just don't understand.
I can't sing. I'm on one of the Hawks Bar and Grill jingles without. It was an unwilling thing. The microphone was recording. And
wow, kind of this has a too many old fashioned vibe to it.
It's turned into an ad, so that one's just there. I hear it all the time.
All right, thank you, Luke. All right, coming up tomorrow: Carolyn Fiddler, Mark Jacob, Dan Schumacher, Kia Vakil, and more. Earl Ingram is up next in Waukesha and Oshkosh. Stephanie Miller in Madison. Todd Alba in Richland Center. Wausau and Amory. Have a great day. See you Friday.